Ready to buy a car, a home, or just want to take control of your money? Your FICO score matters, and 90% of top lenders use it to make decisions. Check your FICO score for free today without hurting your credit score. Visit myfico.com/free or download the MyFICO app today. MyFICO gives you the score lenders use most, plus credit reports and real-time alerts to help keep you on top of your credit. Visit myfico.com/free and take the mystery out of your FICO score.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, was it just a dream? Was it a premonition? Or did he cheat fate?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Sure is. And if you have a real ghost story, want to share it with us, you can call in at 855-853-4802. You can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And remember, you could become a premium subscriber if you want to. You get advanced episodes, access to the complete archive, no commercials, and you could sign up through Apple Podcasts. You could also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or go to ghostpodcast.com. And my sister, Kathy Gordon, is here with me, like literally with me today.
I am. I'm in the studio today.
I always get excited because that doesn't happen very often.
No, but it's fun. It's real fun.
Because usually we're just over Zoom.
I know. So I drove over and it's about 2 hours.
Yeah.
For me to drive over and get here. And so I was listening to a book. And this book is called Enemy Women. I believe the author is Paulette Giles. And it's about the Civil War.
Oh.
And you know me. Uh-huh. I love Civil War history. And it's kind of a combination. It's a historical novel, but she does a lot of documentation in it that's based on real writings and recordings that happened at that time and so forth. Anyway, the Union has come into Missouri, which was another reason I wanted to read it, because I'm close to Missouri, right? And so the Union has swept through Missouri, and they're kind of going through, and they're trying to get anybody that they thought was a rebel against the Union and put them into, you know, take them prisoner. It's toward the end of the Civil War. And so, you know, there's, who knows if they're really a rebel or not. They're just taking pretty much anybody that's a man, you know, and going with them. But they end up taking women, too. And so it's about these, there's these three sisters, their house, the Union soldiers came, they took their father, burned the house, took all their stuff, whatever. So these girls are just out on the road. Right. Now, I'm not going to go into this real deep for you, but there's just kind of a story that I thought was amusing that I wanted to tell today. So these girls are trying to get up to this Union camp where they're going to try to get their father out. So along the way, they run into this woman that they, oh, I think her name was Jessie, and they always thought she was a witch. And the reason they thought she was a witch was because she never married. Right. And she just ran a tavern. And so somehow that made her a witch. Right. So they run into her and they're all a little bit nervous because they're dealing with a witch. And so she kind of reminds me the way she talks and the way she acts, like she dressed a little like Calamity Jane or somebody, you know, with the kind of the way she looked. And so she says, the one daughter says, can't you like look into tea leaves or boil some water and read the water or do something that like witches do so that you can tell us where to go and who to see and like look in the future and so we know what to do? And this woman who just keeps going along with them like she's a witch, even though she's really not, you know, she says, well, she goes, what would that do? And she goes, well, you could talk to dead people. And they will tell you. And she goes, well, just because they're dead doesn't mean they're smart. And so I wanted to tell that story today because maybe sometimes we need to keep that in mind on this show. Just because they're dead doesn't mean they're smart.
Yeah, don't you think so? Because there could be, you know, some haunting, some spirit, ghost somewhere. It's like not the brightest guy.
Right.
And it's just kind of a bumbling ghost.
Well, and why do we think that because you die, you're all knowing and right. You can see everything all of a sudden, you know, maybe you can, maybe you get to know answers. I think that's a wish that I want. Like, I always think when I die, I'd like to know this and this and this and this. You know, I'd like to know if these things, you know, were right, or did I see that right, or whatever. And then I'm thinking, maybe I'm just wishing for that. Maybe that doesn't really happen when you die. You don't get to know.
I would like it to, actually.
I would too.
But, you know, it's just like in life. You know, we were talking about it one day with perverts and bad people. It's like, okay, so once you die, you'd be a really creepy ghost, you know?
Right.
It's not like you just, all of a sudden, it's like, oh, I'm better. Well, I'm no longer a pervert.
Well, unless you are now kind of all-knowing and you know the right way to, you know, be at that point, maybe it changes, right? But we also have a lot of stories about ghosts that seem to not necessarily mm-hmm. be nice stories.
Right.
So
there's some bumbling kind of Barney Fife ghosts.
But just because they're dead doesn't mean they're smart.
But don't you think there could be adorable Barney Fife ghosts?
Yeah.
Like from the Andy Griffith Show, and where it's like he's just so sweet and adorable and bumbling.
Right.
That's the kind of ghost. I'd be cool with that.
Yeah.
I just don't want the demonic one. Oh. It's like, you know, could you find someplace else?
Yeah, I don't. Well, that's my luck, you know.
Well, this story today is interesting to me because it kind of gives me something to think about. Because it's like, sometimes can it be just a dream? But, you know, I think a lot of us have had premonition dreams. So there's sometimes you get that. Or is it just a dream? That right. Maybe there was some dream symbolism in it. Maybe it was just a random dream. Maybe your dream meant nothing. But then it felt very profound because you had it. But maybe it really didn't have a big... Mm-hmm. So here's the story. And it says, while perhaps not exactly paranormal or ghostly, this did have a powerful effect on me. I tend to be a creature of habit with some things. I eat at the same restaurants, park in the same spot, take the same route to work and back every day. Little things that are part of my routine, you could say. So at the old store where I worked, I found a route that I liked that avoided the highway as much as possible. Couldn't avoid it completely. I lived on the other side. I found a spot I could cut across and skip it, though, so that was nice. So I had this nice little route. I drove to work. I went through housing areas with lots of right turns. I don't suppose this story needs this much detail, but I like detail, so sorry.
Well, yeah, I could see that.
At any rate, there was one strip of road that my story is about. The stretch of road was perhaps a mile long. I was going to work on the right side. There was a downward slope of a hill. I don't know what he means by right side.
Well, the right side of the road.
Well, hopefully not the wrong side.
Well,
that's what I have to say about that. On the left, there were houses. Most of the hill slope was covered in trees. The parts of it were open, undeveloped land. There was also a walking path on each side of the road. Hopefully that gives you an idea. One night, I dreamt I was driving home from work. At the time, I worked nights a lot, so I'd get off at 1 a.m. or so. Gets pretty dark, and there are some streetlights, but they don't extend for the entire road. Even with the car headlights, there is a distinct difference between roads and with and without street lamps.
Agreed.
Because, mm-hmm. So, you know, some nights it's just really dark.
Yeah.
This never bothered me before, but in my dream, when I made the transition, I got nervous. I saw a group of three teenagers walking towards me on the path to my left. So since I'm leaving work, the tree-covered slope is on my left. I'm not sure how I knew they were teenagers, but I did. Dream knowledge, I guess. I see them, but it's dark and my headlights are not the best. I see their shapes. I know they're people. I grow more nervous as I get near them. I'm not going fast, probably 25 to 35 miles per hour. Then suddenly, one of them breaks off from the trail. He seems to grow in size as he does so, not into inhuman proportions, but bigger than he was. Perhaps I simply didn't notice he was 6 feet with broad shoulders before. He runs, screaming in rage, straight at my car, and I can't stop the car. I can't turn the wheel. My foot is stuck on the gas. I want to stop. I want to swerve, but I can't. I'm going to hit him, and he's going to die. It will be my fault. I scream. He screams. A split second before the car makes an impact, I wake up. Shuddering, covered in sweat, I lay there stunned. I didn't get any more sleep that night. And I thought about the dream. As I thought about it, I realized that if I drive down that road, I will hit someone and they will die. Someone will die if I drive down that road tomorrow, was the thought in my head. I expected to be nervous when I got in my car for work, but I wasn't. I thought about that 1 mile stretch of road, and I did not take my normal route to work. Coming home, I drove in the opposite direction. However, the road is set up. There is only one way out of my work. I have to go up a hill and turn left or right. As I turn left away from the road from my dream, I couldn't help but look down to the right. It was dark. I didn't see anyone, but I could feel something. Fate, perhaps, pressing against me, like the world was holding its breath as I turned away from the fork in the road. As time passed, the feeling of dread about that road lessened, but never disappeared completely. I still can't bring myself to drive down it. Most of the time, I don't even think about the dream or that night. I cheated fate. That's interesting. Except for when I get near the road with the intention of driving on it. When I do, an eerie sense of foreboding comes over me. I always, always take a different route. Anyway, that's my overly dramatic story. Who doesn't love drama? Was my dream a peek at the future or simply a nightmare that my mind latched onto and associated with that road? Like when I was a kid, I got sick after eating spaghetti, so I couldn't stand spaghetti for years. I'd get sick at the smell. Is this something similar? Is my mind just using itself to freak me out? Did I really cheat fate? Was someone supposed to die on the road that night? I don't know. All I know is I had a dream and I will never drive on that 1 mile stretch of road again. That's from Dan.
Mm.
So isn't that an interesting concept?
Oh my gosh.
Because it's like you had that dream that was very powerful. And I don't know that I've ever dreamt that I killed someone, but I think if I did, I would be very...
My question is in the dream, did he kill them? They scream, he screamed, but that's where it ends, right?
I think that he thought he did anyway. Let me see. I want to swerve, I can't. I'm going to hit him. He's going to die. It will be my fault. A split second before the car makes an impact, I woke up.
Okay, so...
He didn't actually hit him, but in his dream, he knew, like, I'm hitting him, he's going to die.
Yeah, but he didn't.
He didn't see that. How do you know?
Exactly.
But the interesting thing about this, too, is that there are a lot of dream interpretations. So even though I would have a problem if I woke up thinking I just killed somebody in my dream. I think that would bother me. I think I would lay there the rest of the night.
Could we flip this around? That the person that came out was trying to stop him from being killed?
So you're thinking Dan was going to get killed?
Yeah, and maybe this person in the dream throws up his arms to protect Dan from being killed, maybe in an accident or something.
I don't know, because... So I looked it up, and there's dreams of killing someone. So there's some dream interpretations.
Okay.
And it says it's very common to be very upset by that, obviously, because it's disturbing. But it says, before you jump to conclusions, it's essential to understand that dreams are symbolic, not literal. But I do think there's such a thing as a premonition dream.
I do, too. I totally do.
So there are some things your dream could be expressing, like repressed fear or frustrations, desire for control, maybe killing this figure can be your mind's way of breaking free from the constraints, change and transformation. So like it says, if you're moving from one job to another, transitioning from being single or being in a relationship, dreams can manifest like that, like there's some big change in your life. Guilt or regret, that makes sense. Facing fear, self-punishment. We internalize negative perceptions and they can manifest in our dreams as scenarios of self-punishment or self-harm.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, killing a stranger. Killing an unknown person might indicate that you're confronting feelings or aspects of yourself that you're not familiar with. Right. So I don't know. So it'd be kind of interesting to look at what was going on in his life and see if maybe there's something, some anxiety or something that might have brought the dream on. But do you think, because, and I also think this might be part of Dan's personality, that he likes the routine, he likes things to be the same, and now that he had that dream, I get why that would mess with your head, and I don't want to drive on that road anymore, because what if that happens? So do you think, I kind of think, if I'd had that dream where I killed someone on that one stretch of road and I had a different way to go to work, I'd be going the different way.
I agree. I think I would too. But I'm gonna stick with my version of this thing just because of the nature of this particular dream and that someone was coming out. Like, what possible reason is this person just breaking off from this other group and running out except to stop you from doing something?
Yeah. It's
so
interesting.
I'm going with, you were warned not to go down there for your own protection.
And maybe you never actually killed the person.
I don't think you ever killed the person. Yeah. I think whoever it was warning you to stop.
That's what I think is so interesting about dreams.
Well, just stop going down the road or stop doing whatever you're doing, right? I mean, maybe it's something else that it was trying to get you to stop. But maybe you're taking it too literally that it was to go down this one road. Maybe it was saying, no, you need to stop this thing. So we don't know what else was going on in your life at that time, but maybe there was something, if you look back at it now, you would think, you know, I didn't even think about it, but I stopped smoking, or I stopped doing this, or I stopped this, or whatever it is. But I think whatever it was trying to get you to stop.
I think it just is interesting. There's so many different things. Okay, so let's listen to this phone call.
Hello, my name is Sabrin Chandler, and I have a story that's a little bit difficult for me to talk about. The house that I grew up in from the age of 6 to 13 was haunted by a demon. And I believe that that demon attached itself to me, because even now, as I'm 23 years old, I'll have nightmares of this thing, and it will always come in some horrifying shape. I've had dreams that make me wake up drenched in sweat about it. I still live there. However, we got the house exorcised. And if this is to tell you how bad it was, I was scratched 3 times on my back, and it felt like I was on fire when they were exorcising the building. That's what leads me to believe that this thing was attached to me. We had not only one, but 3, I guess, spirits in the house. My brother, sister, and mother, and I all saw them, but my father, he just loved the house. He never wanted to leave it. He thought it was completely normal, and for years he just was irrationally angry sometimes, and I don't feel like that ever stopped until the exorcism. But yeah, things still happen there on occasion, but it's nowhere near like, honestly, I'm a little afraid of it resurging, because that tends to happen sometimes, I guess. Like on that story of the Bothell Hell House, there was a year where it was quiet, and then all of a sudden it came back with a vengeance, and I am just terrified of that. Yeah, there, I've seen it several times. I've seen all 3 of them, actually. I believe that there is one demon, and 2 are spirits, and I found the names in a town register of the 3 people that lived there. And what really sold it for me was, I used to call the little girl, the one that was attached to me, I used to call her Gracie. And I looked in that town register, and the name Grace was outlined and said Gracie next to it. And it was a family of 3. It was a man, a woman, and a child. And it was in the 1800s. So that, I really believe that that house is haunted by spirits. I don't know if there's a demon there, but I feel like there is. So I'll let you go, but thank you, and hope to hear from you soon.
I would not want to live there.
No.
But it's interesting that she feels it's demonic, but yet then she feels like it's a spirit of this little girl.
Well, she said she thought there was 2 spirits and 1 demon.
Yeah, but she said the one that's attached, she feels is attached to her, is a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that said, I don't like the idea of anything being attached to her. You know?
Right.
Because that would be a lot. But I wonder if it is attached to her or if...
Well, if it's, I'll tell you what I'm going to go with on this is that I moved into a haunted house and Carol did too when, you know, about those same years, right?
Mm-hmm.
That she said she lived there. And we moved out and I had nightmares, like she said, that she has for years. And I mean, I was married. I had children. The children yeah. were in high school. And, you know, like I'm talking years and years and years and years. I still will occasionally have one, but not True. Too often. I think it's post-traumatic stress.
I feel the same way.
Because nothing else is happening. I mean, you have these dreams, but, you know, is anything happening other than that? See, I think if it's just bad dreams, I'm going post-traumatic stress.
Because it doesn't sound like a lot else is happening. And I agree with you because when you live in an environment like that, it's very scary and it's day to day. Like
you're young.
Yeah. You can't explain it. What's going to happen today? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Is anything happening today? Is somebody going to come walking down the stairs and nobody's there?
Mm-hmm.
It's just weird. It's a weird, scary way to live.
It's traumatic.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly what it mm-hmm. is. And I think it took me years and years and years before I was able to resolve it. And still, like I said, I will still occasionally have a dream that for some reason or other, I'm back at the house, you know. And usually when I have them, it's because I have to go in and save someone. Like, you know, somebody's in there. I need to go get them out. I can't leave them in there. And it's like, oh God, I've got to go back. So it's like making me come back in. And so I, you know, it's not completely gone, but it's not as bad as it was when I was 23. Like she said, she is.
Yeah. So I'm with you on that. I think that, you know, any kind of trauma when you're a child can stick with you forever because I don't really feel like she has any, and I can't say because I'm not her, mm-hmm. but I don't want to think that she has anything attached to her. And I think there are some things you could do.
Well,
you know, as
I would think if there was something attached, we'd be talking about other things happening yeah. like in the middle of the day.
And, but I'm like, you know, damn, like we lived in a really scary house growing up. We never had to bring in an exorcist to exorcise the house.
Well, we maybe should have, you know.
But, and where would we have found one in a town of 1,200? I mean, really. And then everybody would have been talking about it.
Well, they already were. Like, everybody already knew we lived in this horrible haunted house. But I'm going to go with, I think you're okay. I just think that you're having traumatic stress from it. And maybe, I know this seems weird, but maybe therapy to help you get mm-hmm. through that. Because I think you've been traumatized by the experiences you had.
I agree with you very much. Let's do one more quickie. It says, my family moved into an apartment when I was 1 year old, in which my mother still lives today, 25 years later. Growing up in that apartment, my earliest memories have been weird ones, to say the least. For years, I randomly would see two different entities. One of them would reveal itself looking like just the bottom train of a young girl's white dress spinning as if she was dancing and her dress would flow up.
Oh, that's interesting.
I've never quite heard a description of anything like that.
Wow,
that is
yeah.
very interesting. And I totally see that in my head. She would always appear in the same place by the doorway in the living room mm-hmm. leading to the bedroom.
Sounds like a residual act, mm-hmm. right? Where it
mm-hmm,
happens
very
again
much.
And it was caught in this swirl that she did with this dress on.
I love this next sentence. It said, this would always come followed by a sense of love and comfort. Because we don't always get
those. And she maybe got a new dress and swirled in it and was all excited and happy, you know?
Yeah.
And so there you have the that feeling.
The other entity, on the other hand, wasn't so pleasant. It was a shadow man that would appear out of the corner of my eye. The shadow man felt like an older man who would scowl at me until I would turn my head to look. As per usual with shadow people, That's when they would vanish, giving you a creepy feeling, but never giving you a clear view of it. This happened for years between the two, but only showed itself to me and never to my mom or older sister and brother. They thought I was making it up and would tease me about it. That makes me sad. One night when I was 16, I was lying down on my bed after staying up late and was having a hard time going to sleep, tossing and turning. I was struck with sleep paralysis. I felt light pressure on my chest, but besides that, my body felt strapped down. Nothing moved but my eyes darting back and forth in the darkness. After panicking what felt like forever, I prayed. As a single tear rolled off my cheek and hit the pillow, whatever was holding me let me go. A few confused minutes later, a feeling of love poured over me. I knew then it was them playing a game with me. A few years later, when I was in my early 20s, I had my last but my best definitive view of the young girl, or at least I thought she was. It was her way of saying goodbye because I had moved out by then. I was standing in the middle of the living room playing an old game I had left behind for my brother's children to play with when they visited my mom. Something caught my attention and told me to look where she would usually appear. As I turned, I saw this beautiful, tall, blonde woman in a white dress that stopped below her knees with tall heels. She looked at me smiling, took two steps before disappearing into the thin air. As shocking as it was, I couldn't help but smile. I told my mother and sister as soon as they returned home from the store. After years of saying I was seeing something, my sister told me that before we moved in, an old German couple lived there who had surely passed away by then. Well, that's my story. I would love to hear it on your podcast. Keep up the great work, Anthony. So I don't know that that had anything to do with the German couple. It could have been anybody.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that Anthony would see that woman like that, like just the bottom.
Yeah.
Twirling.
All that time. And then finally right at the end.
And then where does the woman go to? Like, why after all those years did she never show herself? And then she does, and then she disappears in front of him. And what's that?
You know, my initial thought was this residual thing that was just caught in a loop going over and over. But then that screwed that all up.
Yeah, because there she is in the full
apparition.
But then, if the way he says that, now I don't know, but it says the last time that he saw her. So I'm going to guess he's never seen that twirling apparition or residual, whatever it was, again. Mm-hmm. So did this spirit move on? And how do you do that? Yeah. How do you haunt someplace for years and then you're just like, done?
Well, I guess you move to the light and you pass over. But, hey, you know, it seems now that it was more intentional all the time.
Yeah. I don't get it. And then the shadow person. I don't know. But.
Yeah.
Oops. So I don't know what that was. I hope. What I like to think is that whatever it was moved on.
Mm-hmm.
And went, you know. Because I don't know. I wouldn't want to be trapped somewhere for my whole life.
But something happened.
Or excuse me, my whole afterlife.
But it feels like something happened that released that.
I know. I think that's interesting.
Yeah.
But it's also interesting that, because we don't hear many stories about feeling love and comfort when this presence, or and, when you see this.
And a finale.
Yeah.
I always say, If you've got a ghost story, there's no bow. There's no wrapping it all up and being done with it, right? There's always this, what is that? What is this? What happened? You know, and you never get the answer. This is kind of odd. It's like she said goodbye.
I know. It's kind of beautiful.
Yeah.
But so is that feeling of love and comfort.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for writing that in. And if you have a story, you can share it with us if you want to call it in. The number is 855-853-4802 or write in at Real Ghost Stories Online. And then you can become a premium subscriber if you want to. Advance episodes, access to the archive, no commercials, Sign up today through Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free, or sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories, or go to ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.